Welcome to episode number 202.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips on where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode number 202 of the RV Podcast. I'll be joined in a moment by my wife, Jennifer. But we want to welcome you to this episode and let you know how welcome you are. It doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a big Class A motorhome, a Class B, Class C, a towable trailer, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, or a tent, whatever it is. You're very welcome here. I think you'll find lots of interesting material as we talk about the RV lifestyle. So, we welcome you, and we thank you for putting us in your ears this week. Well, in this episode of the RV Podcast, we are going to take a look at the hidden dangers of campground water supplies and also the water in your RV's fresh water tank. There are growing concerns that bacteria and E. coli contamination are much more prevalent in RV water systems than most people ever thought, and that without proper filtration, you and your family could be at risk when drinking water out of your RV faucet. So coming up in our Interview of the Week segment on the podcast, we're going to talk to the former CEO of a large RV manufacturer about what you need to do to have safe drinking water. Plus, we're going to have a serious warning about an outbreak of canine influenza, Jennifer's tip of the week, your RV questions, lots of very important RV news this week, traveling technology ideas, and an off-the-beaten-path report from our friends the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, here we are from South Haven, Mississippi, where we're recording this episode just outside of Memphis, Tennessee. And we've been here for pretty much a week now watching our 12-year-old grandson, Jacob, play in the Dizzy Dean League World Series on a team that is coached by our son, Scott. It's been a great family time for us, and we've been using our RV as a boy cave, a kind of an air-conditioned respite for Jacob and his teammates from the 100-degree heat that they've been having down here. It's kind of a place to chill out with the AC between games, and we showed a little video clip on that on our Ask Us Anything segment on YouTube, our live broadcast that we do every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And if you want to see, you can go over to the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube, and you can see that, how they used it. They liked it. We've been very pleased with the solar panels up on our roof. They have soaked up that southern sun, and they've been keeping the lithium batteries on our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL charged up, and we've had plenty of power out there in the parking lot, and it's been nice to have it with us.
And I did notice that the last time we were at the ballpark, you parked our RV in a different spot, thinking about the solar panels, and it's good you did, because one of the young men on our team
hit an over-the-fence home
over
run.
The fence.
So I could just see. I was sitting there, and I could just see. You know, we wanted to hit a home run. I could just see it coming in, whack, right on the solar panel. So I moved it. I did, indeed.
When you're playing baseball, sometimes it's not good to be too close.
Yep.
And this heat we've been experiencing this week is happening in many parts of the country. Temperatures approached 120 degrees in parts of the U.S. Southwest on Monday. And forecasters said this week could bring the region's hottest weather of the year, and forecasters issued excessive heat warnings to much of Arizona, including parts of Grand Canyon National Park, and extended into areas of Southern California and Nevada. A heat advisory was in effect for West Texas and Southeast New Mexico, with high temperatures well into the triple digits. In Waco, it was 114 degrees.
Oof.
Parts of Utah were also issued an excessive heat warning, with temperatures this week expected to approach 109 degrees. Phoenix reached a sweltering 115 degrees, which broke the previous daily record, according to the National Weather Service.
So it is everywhere, this heat. And just take care out there. I know a lot of you are out there camping. This is prime camping season. And just make sure you have lots of water and you're hydrated. And again, listen to our segment coming up on the interview about why you want to make sure you have safe water. Because as we'll talk in that thing, you know, some people fill up their water tanks, their fresh water tanks at home, and they maybe spend a couple weeks on the road, and they don't, you know, I got plenty of water. Well, it's sitting in that tank, and in that heat, it becomes like a perfect petri dish if you're not keeping that fresh water fresh. So anyway, be listening to that segment coming up. Hey, we are really excited this week to announce that our online merch store, we've got merchandise. Yes, I guess everybody's been yelling. They wanna. We've had lots of emails. People want the hats and the shirts that you see us wearing on our RV Lifestyle YouTube channel. So we've got our online store up and running. And actually, we've got some pretty big plans for it to add lots of stuff to it. But if you've been watching that RV Lifestyle YouTube channel, you've seen us wearing our hats and our shirts with the little logo. And so for those of you who have asked how you can get them, we promised we'd find a way, and we finally have it all set up. So here it is. Just go to shoproadtrekking.com. I'm sorry, shoprvlifestyle.com. shoprvlifestyle.com. And you'll be able to see the stuff that we have there. It's pretty cool. You know, we're going to have a lot more, but we put the stuff that you see us wearing all the time, and I'm amazed how many people are picking those up. They like them. So let us know what you think about that store. We'll be adding, like I say, lots of cool things in the weeks ahead. But right now, the T-shirts and men and women sizes, our hats, and a very cool sweatshirt for the colder months that are just around the corner, even though that's hard to believe in all this heat we've had.
And we'll be leaving Memphis by the weekend and heading back north again to Michigan, where we'll pick up Bo. He's been at our daughter's house there. It has just been too hot for him down here in Memphis. We did take him with us last week to the Owner's Academy in Cambridge, Ontario. We were there in April, and they invited us back to the Road Trek and Erwin Heimer of North American Factory there last week. And we presented a seminar on our serendipity travel style and told some stories from the road as we got to hang out with another cool group of fellow RVers. Bo was really well behaved. The Road Trek folks are very dog friendly, and he was right in the seminar room with us all.
He was. I think he is actually taking it in. He enjoyed being with everybody. We've been on the road a lot this year, and we wanted to take a second, because as we were driving down here to Memphis, we said we got to mention this to share a concern that we have about something that we have noticed more and more, and that is distracted drivers. Just on the way here to Memphis this past week, we were almost hit twice by distracted drivers, and in both cases, it looked like the drivers were texting as they drove the interstate at speeds, well, let's just say well over 70 miles an hour. And it drives me nuts, by the way, that I can't get their attention. As an aside here, I honked the horn in our little RV, our Sprinter-based RV. But for some reason, the Mercedes-Benz people who make the Sprinter, built in this wimpy little European-style meep meep horn. Nobody can hear that horn, and if they do, it gets no respect. I'm going to install like a real American, North American style horn in this thing. No more of this little wimpy European meep meep. But anyway, this distracted driving thing, it is a serious, serious problem, and we are just noticing it so much.
Seriously. Tough, distracted driving is a huge problem out there. Most states have put distracted driving laws on the books over the past few years. Getting caught calling or texting behind the wheel can cost drivers from $1,000 in Oregon for a first offense to a whopping $10,000 in Alaska. But if you look around in traffic on any given day, you know that fines are not enough to stop some people from checking incoming text messages or Facebook status updates while driving. Some states are now adding jail time as an even stronger deterrent.
Good for them.
But in our travels, we're seeing more distracted driving, not less. And it's not just cell phones. GPS units and in-dash vehicle entertainment systems all too easily lure drivers' attention off the road and onto electronic screens.
You know, we did a little research on this after our little close calls this week, and over the past 2 years, there has been, just in the past 2 years, a 14% rise in roadway fatalities in the U.S., and the largest back-to-back increase in motor vehicle-related death rates per mile driven in more than 50 years. And in some parts of the country, distracted driving, they say, causes more vehicle crashes than drunk driving. So we point all this out to say that it is dangerous out there. Now, I live by technology. I'm always online. That's our job. But I have really worked hard, and I'm not completely there, I confess, in not checking my screens when I'm behind the wheel. So we offer that up to you as you drive this year to be alert, and don't be one of those distracted by all the gadgetry on your dashboard, for the very simple reason that you need to watch out for those distracted drivers who aren't paying attention to what they're doing. So stay alert out there. All right, lots of RV news this week that you need to know about.
Oh, so did you see the stories out of the UK last week about the giant fissures appearing on a volcano?
I did. That was so outrageous.
At Wyoming's Grand Teton National Park, they stated the giant crack so close to Yellowstone National Park was causing concern a massive volcano was about to blow. So we want to put your minds at ease. The 100-foot crack is not a sign of imminent disaster. Rather, this part of the country is simply geologically active, and activity does not equal a massive volcano eruption is coming soon. To read a thorough story debunking the hype on the Snoop's website, go to the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/202.
Now, I know Snopes, you know, is a fairly controversial site now. They're not nearly as objective as some people think, but they, you know, they're the best we got for debunking a lot of this stuff. And it seems like every time there's, you know, it's just a very geologically active area, like Jennifer says, there's lots of little tremors, and the UK in particular are just ridiculous journalism. So anyway, don't worry about it going. If it goes, it's going to get everybody. It's not going to get just those in Yellowstone. So go enjoy Yellowstone. Speaking of national parks, there was a study released last week that found that air pollution at U.S. national parks is just as bad as many U.S. cities. It also found that many national parks experienced ozone action days when the public's urged to avoid being outside or doing vigorous outdoor activities because, they get high ozone layers. Several media outlets have been talking about that. They've hyping that all up. But we'll put links to both of those stories. But, you know, it's true. The parks are not immune from all this stuff.
Planning to do any camping in Oregon this week? If so, listen up. Due to extremely dry conditions, all campfires and open flames in campgrounds are banned, likely for the entire week in response to the governor's declaration of a wildfire emergency. 2 people died in wildfires as of the weekend, and many had to be evacuated from their homes. Wildfires are also burning in Northern California, with one near Yosemite National Park, and throughout Colorado. So be sure to double-check conditions before heading to campsites in any of those areas.
Now, for a lot of you heading up to Alaska, this is prime travel time for that. A story out of the Yukon Territory in Canada focused on the decision of a Walmart store there to end overnight stays for campers in their parking lot. They're going to put that ban in only in the summer. Of course, that's what everybody's traveling through. The Yukon News quoted Walmart officials as saying customers had complained about the large amount of debris that campers were leaving in the camping lot there at Walmart. And an area campground owner said the Walmart free camping was hurting his business. Walmart campers were quoted as saying that there's nowhere to stay. But this is what's going to happen all over, as we're noticing this in our camping, that we're seeing more trash in Walmarts and other places that allow overnight camping. We're also seeing more homeless people. Where was that we shared? That was at Cracker Barrel. I won't say where, but we found there were two homeless people. They were in a car, but an old, you know, piece of junk car. But they were sleeping there.
It looked like the cars. I didn't even want you to say the name of the business that we were at.
Well, yeah, because
we don't
want.
Made you promise that you weren't going to say that.
It was
you forgot.
It was a non. It
the
was a building.
The reporter within you has to tell everything you know.
But you know, it is a problem, and they're all going to stop. They're going to stop it all if it doesn't get solved. So, I don't know what you do to keep the homeless out. I don't know what you do, but for those of you who do use the free camping that some businesses allow, clean up
yeah,
after
if you
yourself.
See a mess, you know, maybe even leave it better than you found it.
Yeah, if it's not your mess, you know, and it's there, clean it up anyway. So, all right, one more story.
All right, good news for all of you California West Coast lovers. Highway 1 near Big Sur opened last week for the first time in about 14 months. The road was closed for nearly a year and a half when the worst mudslide in Big Sur's history swept a section of the road into the ocean, making it very difficult for campers or other tourists to reach the popular area. To see before and after pictures and learn more, check the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/202.
Well, this part of the program is brought to you by AllStays Pro, the best tool that we have found for RVers who are looking for places to camp, to boondock, or to stay free overnight. The link I'm going to send you to is simple. Remember this. It's roadtrekking.com/AllStays. AllStays, A-L-L-S-T-A-Y-S, roadtrekking.com/AllStays. AllStays Pro is just our major go-to RV site. It's what we use to find places to stay that really stand out, especially out-of-the-way boondocking spots and those free places to stay that we like. Now, a lot of you are familiar with those really great AllStays apps that you can get for your smartphone, particularly the iOS system, and they're awesome. But since Jennifer and I discovered AllStays Pro, which is a browser-based subscription site, we rely on it almost exclusively now in our RV travels. And here's why. For one thing, it's got a big screen. We use it on our tablets or our laptops. And although it works on anything with a web browser, including your smartphone, mostly we use it on a laptop or tablet because it displays huge maps and on-screen, you know, displays that are so much easier to see what's ahead and what options we have. They've got these different layers you can put on. Like one of them is a public lands overlay. So if you're out boondocking someplace in a national park or something, or a national forest rather, it will display around about 320 acre blocks around you. So you can see the terrain around you, what's around you, if there's little roads leading to you. It has more of those little out-of-the-way, less mainstream, free places than the app does. And those are the places that offer the best camping that we have found. Maybe they only have one or two sites, and because they aren't big, they don't show up on the RV apps or the other RV sites. So when you find them on AllStays Pro, you have a much better chance of truly finding a really cool site that makes you be alone. And let me give you this. For example, the app, which is great. I mean, we love the apps. It has 64,000 points in it. AllStays Pro has over 90,000. And it has larger range of stores where you know, for parking or shopping, like Home Depot, Lowe's, Kmart, Meijer, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's. If you're looking for that kind of specialty stuff, you can find that on that. You get quick links to do Google Maps searches. It has smart filters. You can put all the different clubs you're on, find campgrounds that honor those discounts. And here, I think the best reason to get AllStays Pro is because it's up to date and it's current. It's updated constantly. The apps, I don't know if you all know this with an app, but an app is pretty controlled by the platform it's on, either Google or Android, and they have to go through this vetting process. Whenever they do an update, for every change, they got to go get approval, and that takes time. So it limits updates to the apps to only so many times a year. But with AllStays Pro, they're updated constantly. So there you go. Now you know the secret to how we keep finding such great camping sites, and you can too. The address again, roadtrekking.com, AllStays. roadtrekking.com/AllStays.
Is it a gadget? A recipe? A tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Our tip of the week for this episode is really a warning for dog owners. We want to pass along an alert we received from Leah DiBella, the excellent dog trainer we used for Bo last year. She sent out an alert to her clients warning about a rash of confirmed cases of canine influenza in southeastern Michigan, particularly in Macomb, Oakland, and Wayne counties. Several of the boarding kennels in those counties have been forced to cancel reservations for upcoming stays in order to thoroughly disinfect their facilities. Canine influenza can seem similar to kennel cough, except it is significantly more contagious. Nearly every dog will contract it when exposed and has a shorter incubation period. And Michigan is not the only area experiencing an outbreak of this. It is throughout the Midwest. It is recommended that you contact your vet and ask if there is an outbreak in your area. If so, many vets recommend owners of young, elderly, or at-risk dogs keep their dogs at home until it subsides. Please ask your vet whether or not your dog should receive the canine influenza vaccine. If there is an outbreak in your area, consider keeping your dog at home instead of using daycare or boarding facilities, especially if your dog has not received the vaccine. We have included some links in the show notes for this episode where you can begin learning more. You'll find the show notes at roadtrekking.com/202. Be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied, and then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox, and I love hearing from you.
You know, one of the things that Leah said in that note was she really recommended that people not take their dogs to dog parks.
Bo is going to be so depressed.
Yeah, so we're going to keep him home. I'll just have to take him for long walks. But you can't touch that pup's energy. He just wants to run with other dogs. But it's serious. I know down south, before you board them, they require in many states that they be vaccinated for influenza. They haven't up in the Midwest because it hadn't been that big of a problem. But apparently there is now. So anyway.
So get your dog, check with your vet, but get him vaccinated because we travel so much.
Yeah, so Bo is vaccinated.
Everybody's spreading their diseases everywhere, even the dogs.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Hey, Jennifer's Tip of the Week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct to consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping and a very special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Jennifer and I have two Rad Power Bikes. We got them earlier this year, the city bike model. Jennifer's is the step-through model, which is really cool. It's like the old girls' bike we used to call them when we were kids. You know, it doesn't have that center bar that you got to swing your leg over. You just kind of step through. So a lot of people, particularly people who have some mobility issues, they like that. And, of course, the women like that. I have the regular model with the crossbar. It's kind of, mine's like kind of like a beach cruiser setup. And it's just very comfortable to drive. Ours is the city bike model. They have a number of different models, including fat tire models and collapsible models. The thing about Rad Power Bikes that we just want to stress to you is the quality that they have. They come to you in a couple of boxes, in a box, one box per bike. We got two boxes because we got two bikes. And it's so simple to hook up. They give you great instructions, great telephone support, and you just simply have to hook this thing together, put the handlebars straight in position, tighten them down. You're basically good to go. They are a consumer direct brand. Now, that means that you get a premium electric bike without paying the huge markups that are caused by dealers and third-party retailers. In fact, Rad Power Bikes are priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market, you know, because that dealer retail markup chain's cut off. All of their bike models have the most powerful electric motor that you can have while maintaining street legal status. That's 750 watts of power. It means you don't need a license. You can ride it anywhere you can ride a bicycle. All of their models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. All their models give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle. You can utilize 5 different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you can combine the two. And you can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. So here's the deal. Besides free shipping, which is a big deal in and of itself, if you use the promo code ROADTREKKING at checkout, road trekking at checkout, they'll give you an additional $75 off. We've met people now all across the country this summer who have taken us up on, after hearing about that offer, taken Rad Power bikes off and picked up their Rad Power bikes. They love them. Universally, everybody comes up to us and says, we are so glad we heard that and we bought ours. You check them out. Just go to radpowerbikes.com. Again, that is radpowerbikes.com.
Questions?
You've got them.
Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers.
Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, I just bought a 1992 190. Two times the battery didn't start. Got a jump start. Went to a number of people. The battery's fine, the alternator's fine. Okay, that was place one. Place two said, oh, battery's no good, alternator's no good. That was place two. Third place told me the same, battery and alternator. Fourth place, he put some sort of device on the battery. The car was shut down, and he said something is on in the van that's drawing the power and making the battery go dead. So before I spend who knows how much money for him to figure it out, I was wondering if it's like a process of elimination. I went in, I made sure the control panel was off. I haven't used anything in the van, you know, the refrigerator, the propane, the sink, the bathroom. And I really don't know what I should do. I live in New York, and there's no place for me to even, like, I'll drive to go. So I thought any insight, thank you.
Wow, that's... I feel sorry for Nadine. That's a tough one.
We need Camp Skunk.
Yeah, we need Camp Skunk. You need to go help out Nadine. Actually, our friend Mark Polk offers some great help. We'll share that in a minute. Well, Nadine, first thing you got to realize is that you have a 26-year-old RV. So you bought it used, and I don't know, you know, who you bought it from, whether it had been in storage for a long time. I am suspecting that it had not been used in a long time. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes for you, Nadine, to an article by our friend Mark Polk that I think will help you understand the potential different causes of old batteries failing. The number one cause for lead-acid battery failure, which is what I think you have in your 26-year-old RV there, is something called sulfation. And this is what I'm suspecting. When you use a battery, small crystals of sulfuric acid start to form on the plates in the battery, and that's normal. And when the battery is charged on a regular basis, those crystals convert back into active plate material. But the problem starts when a battery remains in a low state of charge for an extended period of time. And that's when this sulfation problem starts to form on the plates. When the battery drops below about 12.5 volts, says Mark, the longer a battery remains in a low state of charge condition, the larger that sulfate crystal deposit gets, and then pretty soon that sulfate can't be converted back into active plate material and the battery is ruined. And that can happen regardless is if the battery is a year old or 7 years old. The important thing to remember is to always recharge a discharged battery in a timely manner. Now, there are also something called parasitic draw, and that comes from the many different electronic devices and the equipment in the RV that can drain the battery when you're not using it. It's a very slow drain, but even if you think that nothing is left on in the RV, if it's been in storage a long time, little things like the TV antenna booster, the LP gas detector, clocks in the dashboard stereo system, circuit boards, accidentally leaving a 12-volt light on in the RV somewhere. Your car has the same kind of parasitic drains, but it doesn't drain the battery because you drive the vehicle a lot. So if it's in storage or if it hasn't been used for a long time, it's possible for those parasitic loads to eventually drain the battery down to that 12.5 level, and then, of course, sulfation starts. So here's the thing. It's a kind of an interesting dilemma because not every RV owner is aware that the batteries themselves self-discharge when they're in storage. it's not uncommon for a battery to discharge them up to 10% a month if it's just sitting in storage. So I don't know how long that vehicle you have has been in storage or not used, but those are the kind of things to look at. So I would read Mark's article in the show notes. And then the fourth person that you sent to who said that something's drawn it, that's the one I would go back to and let a pro take a look at it and see if he can find out. But we sympathize with you. It can be kind of a mystery. Kind of a mystery. All right, another question here. Let's listen to this one.
Hey, Mike and Jennifer. Got to say, I love the podcast. I listen to it all the time. What my question is for you today is we currently have a Jelly Bean style trailer, a R-Pod 176. Great trailer, fits our family great. We really enjoy it. However, we do have an expensive tow vehicle, and you know, we'd like to maybe change things around a little bit. Eventually, we'd like to go on full-time to RV full-time. We still have our home, stick and brick home, but we want to move up to, say, a Class B or B+ camper van, road trek, something along those lines. Anyways, we want to go to the shows, the RV shows that come in our area, and what do you do with your current unit? Do we walk in, say, this is what we have? Do they give us a blue book price on it for trade-in or sell it on consignment through those dealerships? How does that work? I've been really curious on that. But we love your show. If you let us know, hey, thanks again. And love to see you out there.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Thank you.
I think that would be the same as selling a car.
Yeah.
You can either trade it in or you can sell it yourself.
You know, Richard, you're always going to do better selling it yourself. Always. But do you want to go through that hassle of screening, you know, potential buyers and, you know, all the false leads and all the con games that are played many times? So it's a matter of great convenience to take it to an RV dealer and just try and trade it in. And most of them will take a trade in. You are good to think about doing it at a show because they have a special incentive. If you find what you like at a show, they want to sell it to you because they drove it to the show. They had to have staff move it around, park it. So it's much easier if the show, you know, is one of those shows where they sell the RVs. They'd love to sell it to you right there, and you'll get your best price there. And I suspect that if you brought it with you, if you have a way that you can park it in the parking lot, they could go out and look it over and give you a price right then. Otherwise, you take it to their dealer after the show and let them go. But, you know, if you have time, try and sell it yourself. That's always the best thing to do. But I think they like to sell them at a show. They really do.
I agree.
All right. Thank you, Richard. And let us know what you do. And congratulations on your step up that you're to make. Interesting call here. This is from Paul, who heard us talking about an interesting topic in last week's podcast.
Hey, guys. This is Paul from Indiana. Hey, I believe on episode 201, you referenced Henry Ford possibly doing some camping. If you do a little bit of research, I think you'd find it very interesting. He was actually one of the pioneers, spending quite a bit of time with Firestone and Edward Kingston from Kingsford Charcoal used to work for Henry Ford, and I believe the original briquettes were made from the cutoffs of the wooden spokes on the Model T, and Kingsford took those wood scraps and turned it into a business as part of what they experienced while they were doing it. So interesting stuff. Do a little bit of research. I think you'll really enjoy it. Good luck.
We I'm pretty well familiar with that because we are blessed in our hometown near Detroit. We have the Henry Ford, which is a incredible museum. Belongs on everybody's bucket list. And it's right next door to Greenfield Village. And Henry Ford Museum is all about transportation. And it has some of these original RVs. That's really what they were that Henry Ford pioneered. But they just have lots of information about it at the Henry Ford Museum. And in fact, between 1915 and 1924, most people don't know this, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Harvey Firestone, the guy who made, you know, Firestone tires, and the naturalist John Burroughs, a big fan of national parks, right? They took part in a camping group that they called themselves the Four Vagabonds. And they embarked on a series of summer camping trips from those years, 1915 to 1924. And they were joined by others, among them some family and business associates and lots of politicians, including U.S. presidents. And over the years, the group literally crisscrossed the mountains and the valleys and the scenic countryside of upstate New York, the New England states, Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. They traveled in style, and it's really interesting. They documented all of these things back then with photographs, and it was very well publicized. They had a folding circular camp table with kind of lazy Susan seating for 20, and they had a 20-square-foot dining tent that somebody set up with them. They brought servants for all of that. They had sleeping tents with mosquito netting on it for their guests. They had, a 20-square-foot, I told you about the dining tent. They had a gasoline stove, which was unusual then, a refrigerated Lincoln camping truck. They traveled with a professional chef who prepared their meals, and they traveled with film crews and numerous outside journalists who followed in their wake. Ford was quite a character. He complained of the attention and tampering the effects of their trips, but those who knew him said he relished the publicity. So I found an old article on this that I will link. It's a fascinating story with great photographs of all this stuff. So you'll find that in the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/202. This part of the podcast, sponsored by our friends at Steinbring Motor Coach in Garfield, Minnesota. They're a Road Trek dealer, and they are also a Newmar Class A dealer. They are a third-generation family business. Garfield, Minnesota is in the beautiful Chain of Lakes region there in Minnesota. They're built on quality motorhomes, this organization. They've been in the transportation industry since 1917. They were in the transportation industry when Henry Ford was out there with his four vagabonds. They have decades and decades of experience in the recreational vehicle industry. I mean, they're truly experts in this. And constantly named a blue ribbon dealer, top U.S. dealer in all the industry surveys that are out there. I told you that they have Road Trek, brand new Road Trek Class Bs. They have they also sell the new Hymer Class Bs. And they sell Newmar Class A motorhomes. The Newmar Class A is just a gorgeous coach. And the 2019 is loaded with some really cool, innovative technology. It's worth giving Rich a call up there at Steinbring Motorhome and just say, tell me what these new Newmars have, and you'll be amazed at what they offer. They've got lots of previously owned coaches from popular brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood. They treat you like family. This is a family business, third-generation family business, the Steinbring Motor Coach people. They treat you like family, and when you get up there, tell them that you heard about them on the RV podcast. All right, question now. Just how safe is the water in your RV? From dirty campground water supplies and old rusty faucets to stagnant water that gets very hot in our RV holding tanks, there is, as I said at the very top of the program, a growing concern about contaminated water that can literally make you sick when you're out there RVing. In the Interview of the Week segment, I interview a guy by the name of John Secchio. He is the retired CEO of Spartan Motors. And he's come up with a unique water purification system that works extremely well on RVs. It will soon be widely available everywhere. He was talking, I know, to the folks at the Irwin-Hymer company about having them sell it. He will have information on his website, which we'll put a link in the show notes. But I found the conversation very interesting. We did a video version of that, and you can see that in the show notes at for this episode, roadtrekking.com/202, or of course, our YouTube RV Lifestyle channel. Just go to that as well. You can see it there. And there will be in the show notes also a complete transcript of the interview But without any further delay, let's get into our conversation with John Sekiel about safe water for an RV.
I'm going to talk a little bit about water.
I met John Sekiel, a retired CEO from the RV industry, as he was speaking to a group of RV owners about his passion for clean water. He was talking, of course, about helping bring clean water to the developed world, but he was also showing off a device he said is perfect for RVers that brings clean water to an RV. The water found in some campgrounds around the country can only be described, he says, as toxic. I had to sit him down and have an interview about this.
Well, actually, what's interesting is first, I'll talk first about the RV, then the campground. But when you think about it, you know, water in an RV holding tank is the perfect setup to create bacteria. It's dark, it gets warm, and there's a period of time where there's no flow or activity at all. So what's interesting is after 2 or 3 days in an RV, people are definitely going to notice a difference in the smell. And then they start to wonder what's going on within the tank. There's serious concerns about the quality and the health of water in an RV tank today, which is where no dirty water comes about. Within the campground, again, the same things are coming to light, no different than city water, home, etc. If you think the water is safe in a campground today, you're playing Russian roulette. And so what's interesting is whether it be in a holding tank or within a campground, when people are traveling, whether it be in an RV camping or whatever, there are serious concerns about the quality and the safety of the water.
And when we talk about the quality and the safety of the water, are we talking about just water doesn't taste right or doesn't smell right? Or are people getting sick from this? Is there any qualitative studies on that?
There are now cases being written where people are getting, for lack of a better term, where you're getting E. coli, Legionella, etc. from water either within the RV or within the campgrounds, which ends up results you're not feeling well, you could have diarrhea, you could throw up, you get a slight case of what you think might be food poisoning, but it's actually coming from the water. So what you're seeing, again, is more people camp or RV, and the data shows more people are going out and about, there's more and more concerns going on about the quality of the water.
The solution that you have with no dirty water, this little gizmo right in front of you here, this is pretty interesting stuff. How clean does that make the water? How easy is that to install? How easy is that to maintain? And since this technology has been around a while, right, why haven't we seen this in RVs before?
Well, one, only now are you seeing the technology where it's low voltage, lightweight, high capacity. So this product here will process 2,880 gallons a day. That's never been available before. It only weighs 7.2 pounds. It only draws 1 amp of electricity. So the redefining or revolutionary part of this is the activated oxygen or ozone is now in a very, very small package specifically set up for an RV or outdoor adventure kind of camping. So that's what's new and different. Easy to install. You can install it in one of two areas, either going from your line into the tank so it ozonates or activates and purifies everything within your RV holding tank.
You hook it up probably before around, somewhere around the water pump because that's where the city water comes in, and then it goes to the fresh.
Yep.
And is this on constantly?
It works when the water pump works.
And explain how that clears, how that ozonates into the freshwater tank.
Well, we use the term we're purifying the fresh water, but what this does is when the water pump works, it actually shoots short, small bursts of activated oxygen, which is another term for ozone. And that ozone literally, as it goes from an O3 molecule to O2, that's what kills the bacteria. It also creates a great taste and it eliminates any odor whatsoever.
Now, the larger question, could this go on a home system?
Right now, we're very focused on RVs, camping, outdoor adventure, but absolutely, this system is set up for an RV, which is why you see a 5 gallon per minute filter. But the black box could work on a home, absolutely.
You know, the larger social issues, which I know you guys are very much aware of, is something we should just touch on for a moment. Your real passion is in bringing safe,
pure water to the developing world.
Well, exactly. But and what's interesting is what NDW does, it was created to solve the world's water issues. And 2 billion people a day interact with dirty water. Just over 9,000 people will die each day from water-related diseases. So when we were working with our partners, we wanted a lightweight system, less than 10 pounds, one that drew 1 amp or less, and third, could do at least 2,000 gallons per day, because it is set up perfectly to be solar powered, if necessary, and work in a developing world. So now, the question is getting the wells drilled, but now we've got a lightweight, low cost, high capacity, portable system that could be solar powered, if necessary, for developing nations to give people clean, pure, safe water every day.
And meanwhile, it's perfect for RVs because you've got this system that's relatively contained that this can easily be interchanged with.
Absolutely. You know, and that was the beauty. When I retired from Spartan Motors, I wanted a system which could solve the world's water issues. And to do that, I knew I would do something which would work very well within an RV or camping, because it's got to be lightweight to solve the world's water issues. It's got to be lightweight to be in an RV. It's got to be small to be in an RV. It's got to be small to solve the world's water issues. And it's got to be low voltage or less than 1 amp, because the sun is the only thing you can rely on in a developing nation. And in an RV, you want to be very, very concerned how you're using your electricity.
That 1 amp draw, particularly for those who are doing more and more boondocking, living off the grid, mm-hmm. just off of your solar-powered batteries in your RV, this thing can go for days. That's not going to draw anything down.
No, you are absolutely right.
And that's the actual technology breakthrough, right? That low power.
Lightweight, low cost. And what's interesting is the black box, the key item within the black box, the activated oxygen item, the ozone generator, you call it, has a shelf life of 130 years. So you're, like, the filter would be have to be replaced probably once every 6 months. Your ozone, the most important part of it, the activated oxygen piece, life of once every 130 years.
And this is, of course, the filter part right here.
Yep.
It looks like this just unscrews. You just put a new filter in.
Right.
Even I can do this.
Yeah, it's simple. We want to make it very simple and easy to use, very simple and easy to install. Like some people in an existing RV, they will put it right underneath their sink, going right up to their fresh water tap. So every time they turn their faucet on, you're going to get activated oxygen. You'll purify the water. It'll give it great taste, and it will also eliminate any odor.
The fact that it also purifies the water in the freshwater holding tanks is particularly of interest to me, because, as I said, I think a lot of people fill that up, and they keep that water in there for a couple, 3 weeks.
Yeah, and then when you get into the summertime and it's like 80, 90 degrees, and in the tank it's probably 10 to 15 degrees higher, that is a perfect petri dish for bacteria.
Yeah. This is pretty good. This is available now, and we're going to see more and more RV manufacturers offering this as an option. We'll put some links on the show notes for the podcast and here in on our YouTube video as well to No Dirty Water, your great website. They can learn about the social footprint that this little gadget's going to have. So this is how you're spending your retirement from Spartan Motors, eh?
Yeah, you know, it really is. I love it because, one, you know, I know we're creating value, but second, I know we're creating a better world and we're making people smile. And it is so neat, like when we do live tests, and like we'll be at a show next week, but when you see people smile from a great glass of water, it is an unbelievable feeling.
And the water really does taste better.
It does taste better.
Well, I want one on my RV, so we'll
look forward to
it,
Mike.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
All right, that was John Siegel. He's the former CEO of Spartan Motors. That's a big RV manufacturer. They make ambulances and fire trucks, stuff like that. And you can see what it looks like in the video, which, again, we will embed that right in with our podcast show notes, so you'll find it there. It's kind of a cylinder, a clear cylinder, where you can see the filter inside, and it's attached to a small little black box that is the ozonator, as he calls it. So take a look at the video and see what you think. But be aware that the water that comes out of your RV may not be as clean as you hope it is. John Segill. And again, you can see the interview on the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/202. The interview of the week brought to you every week by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or used motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. These guys have been a sponsor of ours now for a couple of years, and I keep hearing great things about those who have shopped at Sunshine State RVs. Nick and the crew there go out of their way to fit you with the perfect RV. They sell brand new Road Trek RVs, Hymer RVs, Coachman Class B RVs. They specialize in mostly Class Bs. They have some Class Cs. They have a ton. In fact, I would say they have the largest number of used Class B RVs that you'll find on a lot anywhere in North America. They have specialized for years in finding used Class Bs and then putting them in tip-top shape and selling them to people, and they still do. Their parking lot's filled with great Class Bs, new and used. The thing that impresses me about these guys is how they go. They put every one of those RVs through a very thorough 172-point inspection, which they ensure that all of the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. They road test every RV. They make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior just as entirely as they do the outside. Every component at Sunshine State RVs is turned on and tested to make sure it works. All of their used RVs thoroughly cleaned, detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks and replace any silicone cracking. Any silicone caulking. If you are looking for an RV, give them a call. SunshineStateRVs.com is their website. And be sure and tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
So here we are complaining about the heat of the dog days of summer. We're coming to the end of July, almost August. And can you believe now that, they're all talking about back to school time? That's what our Steve Van Dinter is talking about in our Traveling Technology segment.
Hi there, Mike. Well, the days are barely getting shorter, but in many parts of the country, we're just a week or so away from kids going back to school. And this year, rather than dread the ringing bell, send them back to class all tacked out. For those entering into high school or college, chances are pretty good there's a smartphone also coming along. And new cases like the ones featuring the Avengers, Star Wars, and Disney princesses make securing these devices a smart and stylish decision. Coming in a variety of colors and looks, there's one sure to fit your interests and protect your investment from failing a test by gravity. Well, keeping your phone powered up and ready to handle whatever the semester throws at it is also important. And especially in the dorm rooms, there just never seem to be enough power outlets. Well, that's where the Verizon 5-port charging hub comes in handy. Just insert the plug into one of your wall outlets, then connect up to 4 USB devices and an additional 1 USB-C device to the hub itself. Newer phones like the iPhone 8 and iPhone 10, along with most Android devices, can be charged wirelessly in addition to wired. So if you're looking for the ultimate in charging convenience, consider picking up the Samsung Fast Charge Wireless Charging Stand. Not only won't you have to worry about messing around with cables anymore, since your phone is upright and charging, you can easily see text messages and respond without having to pick it up. Well, what tends to happen in the morning when you're running a bit late for class or the school bus is about to pull up? You can't find your backpack, right? Well, the Tile Combo 4-Pack can help with that. Just slip a Tile onto your backpack, purse, or wallet. Now, the next time you lose them, just open up your phone's Tile app, click on the title of the item you lost, and it'll start to ring so you can find it. And if it's your smartphone that's lost, no worries. Just pick up any of your Tiles and double punch the E on it to automatically ring your phone, even if it's on silent. With this week's Traveling Technology Tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
And this part of the podcast brought to you every week by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. When Verizon says better matters, they mean it. Only Verizon ranks highest in leading network studies and multiple tests year after year. tests that measure network quality performance and user satisfaction in the United States. Year after year, they are at the top of all those tests. Can you network say that? If you are stuck on the wrong network, get over to Verizon and get unstuck.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Well, if you were listening to last week's episode, episode number 201, you heard our Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett, talking about the South Dakota town of Mobridge, where they stopped on a whim so Patty could get her hair cut, or hair styled. I guess that's the correct term these days. Well, they had found so much in this little tiny town that they said they'd be back with another excerpt of what they found in Mobridge, South Dakota, and that's indeed what they are in episode 202. Here are the Burkitts.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. We were stopped in Mobridge on the South Dakota Plains so I could get a haircut. Online research from the seat of the road trek had turned up a suitable shop here, and I had an appointment for just after lunch. On the recommendation of the local librarians, we were eating at Rick's, a pink stucco cafe on the edge of the downtown. As promised, the bison chili was first rate, and we emptied our styrofoam bowls and wished for more.
While Patty walked across the street to Studio 650, I drove to the edge of town where the US 12 bridge crosses Lake Oahe. The lake, created by a dam on the Missouri River, stretches more than 200 miles through South and North Dakota. There are stories buried in the lake. Forest City is down there. Cedars transplanted from its watery town square now surround the Mobridge County Courthouse. Several Native American villages are down there too, their residents still uncompensated for the forced relocation they endured in the 1960s. Across from the library, I stopped to take a picture of the Fool Soldier Monument in the park. A woman sitting on a nearby bench asked if I knew the story. Not really, I admitted. They didn't get anything but grief for what they did, she told me, until somebody finally put up that monument. I asked if I could join her on the bench. Hey, she said, there's plenty of sunshine to go around. Had she lived in Mobridge for a long time? All my life. I was born in that house right there. I wondered aloud if things had changed much. Not so you'd know, was her response. It's mostly snow and the rodeo and the occasional tornado.
Rodeo is the big deal in Mobridge for much of the year, I discovered. My hairstylist, Rudy, had opened the shop just to cut my hair, interrupting an afternoon of practice for her day job, barrel racing. I grew up working on a ranch and went to school to become a stylist. I never rode much as a kid. Growing up on a ranch, it was too much like work. I started racing as an adult and discovered I loved it. I was living in the city, and it was hard to find a spot I could keep my horses. One day my mom called and told me the woman who owned this salon was retiring and selling out. I told her I was not interested. No way was I moving back to Mobridge. Okay, I said to mom, I would come just to have a look. That was on a Friday. A week later, I'd signed a mortgage and moved back here. It's a pretty good place to live if you like to ride, and the shop does okay too.
After my stop in the park, I wanted to find out about the Fool Soldiers, so I headed back to the library. The librarians were just finishing their lunch and again greeted me warmly. Rick's? Asked the one. I nodded. Good, right? Asked the other, who seemed gratified we'd been brave and stepped into the unknown. I asked them to tell me about something that had happened in town that folks still talk about, thinking it might be the bull I'd just heard about, or maybe the Fool Soldiers. Nope. They agreed it would be the tumbleweeds. Back in 1989, a drought lowered the level of Lake Oahe by nearly 40 feet. Russian thistle quickly colonized the fertile soil. One night in early November, a strong wind started the weeds tumbling, and Mobridge residents woke to find streets blocked and weeds piled like sand dunes against houses and tree lines. It cost more than $8,000 to clear the town, and the story made the New York Times and People magazine.
As it turned out, we spent several hours in Mobridge. Tom heard about Dakota Twister, the runaway rodeo bull, and we discovered the sad and fascinating story of the Fool Soldiers. We'll share those another time. For now, you'll just have to make do with tumbleweeds, murals, buffalo chili, and a cowgirl hairstylist. You can find them all on US 12 in the middle of South Dakota. We're Patty and Tom Burkett, and we've always got our eyes open for other travelers out here off the beaten path.
Indeed, Mobridge, South Dakota is off the beaten path. Can you believe they got three reports out of that? We'll hear of the part three coming up in a future episode here on the podcast. And links to Mobridge and all the things that they talked about, you'll find those in the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/202.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, I've got three of them for you, and let's start right now, July 27th through the 29th at the in Chicago at the Renaissance Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois. It's the Beat the Heat Chicago RV Show. Air conditioned in there, you Chicagoans. Head over there from Indiana and Illinois and Wisconsin to the Beat the Heat Chicago RV Show, July 27th through the 29th. Coming up August 9th through the 12th, it is the big Midwest RV Super Show at the RV Motorhome Hall of Fame in Elkhart, Indiana. August 9th through the 12th for that event. And one more, August 17th through the 19th. And this one at Hampton, Virginia. It's the Hampton Roads Super RV Show. The Hampton Roads Convention Center, August 17th through the 19th.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendlin. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, thank you everybody for listening to this episode. Again, all of the resources we shared with you and links and other places you can go for more information, you can find that in the show notes. Go to our blog, our RV lifestyle blog, which is roadtrekking.com, and then put the slash sign in and then enter in the episode number, which is 202, and you'll find a complete show notes. It's almost like a detailed transcript or an outline of everything you just heard. Hey, we thank you so much for listening. We are continuing our travels throughout North America, and we'll be back, as we always are, every Wednesday with a new edition of the podcast. Meantime, follow us over on our YouTube channel. Just look up RV Lifestyle Channel on YouTube, or just type in your web browser, RVLifestyleChannel.com. That'll take you there. Hundreds of RV videos. We put four new ones up. Count them. Four every week. We do RV quick tips every Tuesday. We do our interview of the week of the podcast, if we can possibly get a video interview of the person we interview. Our main video is up every Thursday, and then on Sunday, every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Jennifer and I are on live on YouTube, streaming to the world, answering your questions in a segment we call Ask Us Anything. And that's every Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, live. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Make sure you are a subscriber to the podcast. Check us out. And don't forget, check over our new merch, our new merchandise store for apparel. And that's at, again, shop.rvlifestyle.com. Hey, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, thanks for listening. We'll see you down the road. Happy trails, everybody.